Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. All stanzas of 235. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 6th chapter of the book of Exodus, the first 8 verses. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-searching God of heaven and of earth, we are come together in this morning hour again in thy house of prayer. When we have come to the end of a week of preparation for thy holy supper, and thou knowest all the matters which are lying in the heart of thy own children. Lord, thou knowest where that they are, and thou knowest where that they do sit, and thou do knowest all that goeth on within the innermost recesses of their hearts. Thou art high, thou art lifted up, thou dost dwell in thy glory, thou sittest upon the throne of thy majesty, and yet thou hast respect unto the lowly, but the proud thou knowest afar off. Oh, then thou knowest the lowly in our midst in this morning hour. For there is an afflicted and a poor people, and thou hast made them to be so. For by nature we are proud, and we are lifted up, and we are afar off from thee. But thou wilt humble thy own, and thou wilt bring them with weeping and with supplications to thy blessed footstool. But thou knowest the turmoil that can lay in their hearts. O Lord, thou sayest, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. But there is a church, thou knowest, they do not sing. Lord, they cannot sing, for there is a people that do lay so hard under that bondage that they are not able to see any more how it is possible to be delivered from that enemy of sin that is so in every inmost recess of their heart that they cannot get away from it, that they cannot come out from under it, and that they cannot see how that it is possible that they themselves would be reconciled unto a triune God. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, the prisoners in this morning hour. Thou knowest those who groan. Thou knowest those who have a desire that they may be delivered. Thou knowest those who are not able to deliver themselves and whose cry goes out to thee, O God of heaven and of earth. We beseech thee, remember thy people. Oh, could it please thee to bring this thy people unto thy holy table in this morning. Oh, they see such a discrepancy, for thou art holy, and they are so unholy, and thou art so worthy, but they are so unworthy, that they are ready to stay away, that they are ready to say that it is impossible. Oh God, could it please thee to remember thy own when they are not able to say that they are thine, but wilt thou call their name in this morning hour, that thou may give to us the ability to lay out the case of thy own people, that they indeed may come, all that they may be drawn by thee, that they may receive a blessing out of thy heavenly store. But Lord, thou knowest the proud. Oh, thou knowest them afar off. But the proud, they would come in their own strength. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may guard in this morning the holiness of thy own table, and that thou may undeceive our wretched and our sinful hearts, that we may never put forth our hand boldly to take the bread of the children. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may be sent from above in these moments in this morning, when we are gathered in thy house of prayer, and that thou may come by thy Spirit to give enlightening to each and every one of us. Oh, the sun that does shine in its strength in the heavens, oh, that that sun of righteousness may also shine in this morning hour to give light to them that sit in darkness, and that thou may give light to those who have never seen the light, that are taking to themselves that which does not belong, and that thou may uncover the hidden works of darkness. And could it please thee to remember the entire congregation, O Lord, in this morning, then that separation shall be seen. It shall become evident. It shall be in the midst of us, not a perfect separation, but it will be a separation, and so it will be seen. Oh, we beseech thee that thou would go now. Lord, oh, go now from heart to heart amongst us. And could it please thee to touch the hearts of both young and old, because soon we are all going to stand before thy holy judgment seat. And then there shall be a perfect separation, a separation between the sheep and the goats, a separation that thou thyself thou wilt make with thy all-searching eye into the innermost recesses of the heart of each and every one. Oh, that a longing, a hunger, and a thirst may be born in this morning hour for that blessed portion that thou hast laid away for thy church, in which thou dost declare in thy blessed and holy word. Oh, that we may be given those gifts that are necessary, that we may be enabled by thee to so lay out the blessedness of that portion, that the heart of each and every one among us, and that is walking in the ways of vanity, may begin to burn, may burn with love for their Maker and their Creator, and that there may come in this morning hour a blessed, a new, and a holy desire to come back again, all to forsake the ways of sin which we have chosen in our father Adam, and which we choose day by day to leave it all behind us, and to say with the Ruth of old, "Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God," all that at birth may be worked in this morning hour, that thou dost say is so necessary, ye must be born again. O Lord, we await thy blessing in this morning hour. We beseech it out of heaven above, that thou may open the windows of heaven as have been opened in a natural way in this morning hour, that the gentle rains may come upon the grounds. Oh, that thou may so open the heavens in this morning, that thy spirit may fall as the dew on the heart of young and old, of unconverted and also of thy dear children, and that we may so feel together the presence of thy Holy Spirit, we beseech it of thee. Lord, wilt thou look on all the afflicted ones, those that are not able to be with us in this morning. Remember them in their places, and may thou grant them a Sabbath day's blessing. Look upon the children. Oh, give them in this morning a little patience. Give them in this morning also to look upon thy people with a holy jealousy. Wilt thou look upon all that need thee in special ways in this life? All widows, widowers, orphans, all those that are lonely. And wilt thou care for all afflicted ones in mind and in body? And so wilt thou be among us in mercy, we beseech thee, over the length and breadth of the whole world, with all of thy truly sent servants. Oh, that thou may give them the Holy Spirit in this day, and wilt thou spread it forth over the length and the breadth of this whole world, that many may be born in Zion, and that they may come with their faces thitherward. Oh, that thou may do it for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 389, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply in judgment. Do not cause thy servant to be tried before thy holy laws. No man is justified. The last collection today is for the building fund. And we announce also to remind our young people that the youth group will be held on Saturday evening in Lethbridge. Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Exodus chapter 6, and thereof the second and the third verses, Exodus 6, verses 2 and 3. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And so far the words of our text. A precious confirmation from the Lord. First, to whom that this confirmation comes. And second, the substance which this confirmation contains. For a precious confirmation from the Lord. First, to whom that it comes. Second, the substance which it contains. Last week, congregation, we have heard of the condition of God's people, the condition of the children of Israel. They are a blessed people. And why are they a blessed people? Do you think so too, boys and girls? That is a blessed people. And they are a chosen people. They are chosen by the Lord himself, even from and among and out of all the nations in this world. And because they are a chosen people, they are also the children of promise. They are the seed of Abraham. We read, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the circumcision, that is, to whom pertaineth also the signs and the seals, to whom pertaineth also the holy sacraments. And yet, though a blessed people, we have heard that they are yet a people that are in bondage. That is, as the Lord declares through much tribulation, and that they must enter into that kingdom of God. Necessary. Necessary. Why necessary? That those people are brought into bondage. Well, we can read that if we go in the Bible later, and then we can read how that people are looking back again, then we can read how it was actually at one time in the life of that people. That place where they are dwelling, that was the land of Egypt. That place where they are dwelling, and that is not their final country, that is not their final home. And yet we can read that people, they have become so one with dwelling in that land, and that they are enjoying all the goods and all the gifts of that land, the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers and the melons, that land that has become a place where they were satisfied to dwell. And thus it must become to that people a bondage. The Lord must make this world a place wherein that people feel to be a stranger. And that life of vanity and that life of sin, that at once that people may find to be their element, the Lord needs to make it to be a land of bondage. That is something that we heard were not able to deliver themselves from. It became not only to them a burden, but it became to them also a bondage. Then it is necessary that it also becomes to them a bondage. Why? Because then they would be able to deliver themselves out of all of this burden. Then for what reason do they need a Savior? Then for what reason do they need a mediator, a deliverer for their soul? Then for what reason do they need the might of the Lord? Why do they need the power of the Lord if they have sufficient power in themselves to deliver themselves from that pit in which they have brought themselves in their deep fall in their father Adam? And in which their heart has become so content to dwell. Oh, a chosen people, yes. A people who are living in bondage. A people that have to experience that they are not able to deliver themselves out of that bondage. And that their hands and their feet are those which are running unto sin. That their flesh that is so tied to that way of sin and vanity and all that is carnal. And that as the apostle says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is now the people whom we have heard that the Lord appeared to. Did the Lord ever so appear also unto you? That is now the people unto whom the Lord came, and that the Lord, He showed Himself, He spoke unto them, and He showed that there was a deliverer that He had prepared for that people. And when the Lord may speak unto them, then we read that the people, they were so glad. We read that the people believed. Oh, they may believe it. And they may receive it. They may receive it as the word of the Lord. And there may be a hope in their soul. And that though they were not able to deliver themselves, yet the Lord, He Himself would deliver them. And then what? What happened next? Children, young people, what happened next? Because it is so much different than you hear today. That we are converted. The Lord, He has worked with His Spirit in our heart. Now that is finished. Now we must go on to do the work of the mission. And now we must rejoice in the Lord. Is that so, young people? It is not our word. We read in God's word. When you listen, that you must also read. And then we admonish you, then go unto that holy word of God and read it from cover to cover and ask yourself, is that really and is that truly the way of the Lord with His people? Is that truly the church of God? Here we read how that the Lord appears unto His children. Here we read of that hope and that expectation that the Lord is giving unto those who are afflicted and poor, who are made so by Himself. Here we read that the people may believe, that they may receive it, and that they may rejoice in that word of the Lord in their life. And then what? Oh, and then the burden becomes heavier. Oh, and then the burdens are increasing. Oh, and then their life goes from step to step and increasing, and so they are coming in
from step to step higher and closer to the Lord and into that land of Canaan? No. No, that is not the way of the Lord. But we see that those burdens are increasing. And though that the Lord has spoken in the life of that people, then we see that they come in such circumstances as they are not even able to believe that the Lord is able to do it anymore. Is that not the way? That the Lord is increasingly, not once, but deeper and deeper, making room in the life of that people for the power of the Lord. For a mediator, for a savior, for their soul. Oh, then what do we see? There is great discouragement. There is even rebellion. They have to feel, they have to know even what is laying in their own heart. That is a people that are not able to see their way out of this anymore. And what is necessary? Oh, it is necessary that that people may live by faith. Has not the Lord spoken? Has not the Lord said it unto them? Has that not the Lord promised them? Must they not now only look unto Him? Or must they not now only go upon their knees? Do they need now themselves to see the way? Is the Lord not able to overcome all those circumstances for them? Do they need the strength? Do they need the might? Or is not the Lord almighty and all-powerful? Oh, rest now. Rest now, people of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. Oh, it is one thing to say it. It is one thing to say how it ought to be in the life of that people. And the practice is something else. It is so impossible. And the Lord, does He know how it is in the heart of that people? Does the Lord not know all their circumstances? Does the Lord not know all of their fears and all of their trials? The Lord knows. And therefore the Lord is coming. And the Lord comes to them again. And what does the Lord do? Oh, what do they deserve? That the Lord would say, "Why don't you believe in me? Why don't you believe the word that I have spoken? Why do you rebel against me?" Oh, the Lord does not come with His chastisements. But what does the Lord do? He comes to uphold them. He comes to strengthen them. He comes to encourage them. He comes to confirm His word. That word that He has spoken in their life. As they are going on their way. Is that not the same? Is that not the same even today? When the Lord gives His holy supper. That as that people, they are traveling upon that way. And when the people, they are still in that bondage. They are not yet delivered from that bondage. When that bondage has become so impossible for them to deliver themselves from. Or even when the Lord has spoken to their soul. Even when they have been given hope. Been given expectation in their life, and all that expectation is step by step taken away from them. Then the Lord comes, and the Lord comes from time to time, even saying, do this even until I come again. To do what? All to confirm it. And to give them to remember Him by it. And what is that way? How does He confirm it? We see that in our second thought, the substance of this confirmation. And God spake unto Moses. He is the servant of the Lord. And what do we read about God's servant? We read that God's servant is also discouraged. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Or he is also discouraged. If it was all discouragement, that would be one thing. But it is not even all discouragement. We read more. We read that he is also impatient. We read that he is placing the blame upon the Lord. Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? We read that there is even rebellion in the heart of the servant of the Lord. Oh, how God's servants, they are also so unworthy of those sacraments of the Lord. But the Lord pardons his servant and the Lord pardons his people. And the Lord bears. The Lord bears with all the weaknesses and with all the infirmities of his people and of his servants and with their lack of trust and their lack of faith. And God said unto Moses, spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. God Almighty. That is El Shaddai. That means all sufficient. That is the way that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. We read, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am El Shaddai. I am the All-Sufficient One. And by this name, those patriarchs, they have been sustained by that almighty power of God, that they may look for their sufficiency in the land of their wandering from the Lord Himself before the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Jehovah. Jehovah, that is speaking of the being of God. We have heard how that the Lord has appeared unto Moses. When he has appeared to him in that burning bush. And that the Lord has spoken unto Moses. And Moses has asked, what shall I say when they do ask me who has sent me unto you? And what has the Lord said? He said, I am that I am hath sent me unto you. Thus, he speaks about his very essence. He speaks about his very being, his very existence. And what does the Lord now say? He says that by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Thus, I was not known to your fathers by the name of Jehovah. No, to them I have revealed myself as El Shaddai. I have revealed myself as the all-sufficient one. Did they not know him by the name also of Jehovah? They did. Yes, indeed. You read the name in capital letters, Lord, much before this already. Thus, it is not that the Lord has never spoken to them, never revealed to them this name of Jehovah. But what does the Lord now say? He says, I was known to them before by the name of Jehovah only in the letter. But I have not been known to them up to this point in the substance of this name. Thus, what is now the substance of this name? What is the meaning of this name? Jehovah, that the Lord is appearing unto his people by this name. That is the covenant name of God. Thus, the Lord speaks about who he is. And not only who he is, but about his giving of being, his giving of substance also to his word. His giving of being, his giving of substance to his word, to his promises. Thus he says, those things which I have spoken, they are not empty words. They are words that have been given by the true and the living God. And then he speaks about his unchangeable nature, his immutability. He says, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He speaks about his unchangeableness. He speaks about his eternity. The infallible decrees of God. The infallible certainty of his word. The infallible certainty of his promise. Abraham did not receive the fulfillment of the promise. We read, and he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him. So Abram only sought afar off. And that promise was believed by the patriarchs. But that was not experimentally received by them. And now what does the Lord say to Moses? Now, he says. Now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. Thus there is a difference between the promise and the fulfillment of this promise. He says now, and then he speaks about the fulfillment of that promise unto the fathers. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. Now thou shalt see what I will do unto Pharaoh. I am going to bring it to pass. Now the children are going to receive the fulfillment that I spoke of unto the fathers. And what those fathers have seen in a glass darkly, is going to be made known clearly and openly unto the children. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. I was not known to them in the faithfulness of my being. I was not known to them yet in the fulfillment of my promise. But now I reveal myself in this way unto you. Now, when it has become for you an impossibility. Was it not so much easier for Abram? He was in that land of Canaan. And when the Lord had naturally given unto him a seed, and his children would have received children and more children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, then we can understand, boys and girls, then they would have filled all that land of Canaan. And then it would have gone as we like it to go, from step to step, increasing until we receive the promised land. But it did not go so. Now is the time when for you, you cannot see anymore how it is ever possible that I can fulfill my promise. Now the time has come that your enemies and my enemy, you are going to see them soon, all dead upon the seashore. Indeed, now the Lord has spoken to the children of Israel. He has sent Moses and Aaron. And what did we hear? We heard the people believed. But that was not an easy way. We heard there was despondence. And now the Lord, it is possible. Now the Lord, he could have just worked it out. In other words, and he will certainly work it out. We will see this. In other words, young people, when you go home, then just imagine that these verses here in this chapter were not written in the Bible. Because we read in the former chapter, we read how that there is great discouragement. And in the next chapter, we are going to read about how the Lord, he is going to begin to deliver his people. But now we read a chapter in between. A chapter in between. Before that the Lord delivers his people. And what does the Lord do? The Lord looks upon his people. He is going to deliver them. But he looks upon them. And he looks upon them in their discouraged state, in their discouraged condition. Oh, how good he is for his people. And when he looks upon his people and he is ready to deliver them, first he stops a moment. He stops a moment to speak to them and to give them on their way, on their difficult way, a little encouragement. It is not to tell them what they must now do. No, he is going to do it. But it is only for their comfort. It is only for their own welfare. And he stops a moment. And he says, my people, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the covenant God. And then he speaks a moment about his name. And he sets his name before them. And he says, I am not only the God of the promise, but I am also the God of the fulfillment. And he says, my people, rest a moment. Rest a moment in that word that I speak unto you, that I tell unto you, while you are waiting for me to do my work, while you are waiting for me to deliver you from all of this enemy, oh, look for a moment at what my name is and trust for a moment. Despite all your circumstances, despite all your impossibilities, despite the fact that you cannot see a way out of all of this yourself, then he speaks about his own faithfulness. His own faithfulness to his own covenant promise. And he says, my people, I cannot do otherwise. Look at who I am. He speaks about his being. He says, I am not a man that I should lie. I am not the son of man that I should repent. Or he speaks about the certainty that lies in that covenant. I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, and he gives being unto his own word. He says, I have sent unto you a deliverer, or I have revealed that deliverer to you. Do you remember? Do you remember how glad that you were? Do you remember that you have rejoiced, that you have believed, that you have bowed your heads, that you have worshipped, and that you have trusted in me? Do you remember? And now the burdens increase. And now you cannot understand what I am doing. But I will fulfill what I have spoken, and your deliverance, that is just as sure as the promise itself. Thus, when the Lord will deliver his people, he renews his covenant in that name of Jehovah. And that is especially necessary because of the difficulty of the way. It is especially necessary because of the weakness of faith. It is not for their safety. It is for their comfort. That they may live upon it. That they may rest upon it. And that that blessed covenant that he has made may become the foundation, may become the rock upon which their feet are grounded. When was the Lord's Supper instituted? It was instituted in the night that the Lord Jesus was apprehended. When was it instituted? It was instituted just as Israel is now immediately before their deliverance. The Lord's Supper was instituted immediately before the deliverance of the Church of God. Is it time for Pharaoh to be judged? The Lord's Supper was instituted in that moment before Satan was judged. It was instituted in that moment before that head of Satan is now going to be bruised and that church is going to be delivered from Satan. It was instituted at that time that the promise of the Lord from the beginning of time was to be fulfilled and the church delivered after 4,000 years. And the Lord could have just worked it out, and he would work it out. He would go to death. And what did the Lord do, however? He stopped a moment. He stopped a moment. Just before that he went to destroy that enemy. And he stopped a moment to do what? He stopped a moment to strengthen his disciples. Because it was a way for them that was so difficult. Yes, the promise was there, and that mediator, he was revealed, but it was not going in the way that they had expected. And it was going not from strength to strength, but it was decreasing. And it was becoming ever more dangerous for those disciples in their life. And it was going closer and closer unto death. And soon everything, all their hope and all their expectation was going to lie in the grave while the Lord delivered his church. And what does the Lord do? Before he goes, he stops a moment. And he encourages his own disciples. And before he goes, he stops a moment and he institutes the Holy Supper of the Lord for a church that is going the same way as Israel, for a church that is going the same way as those disciples, even unto the last ages of the world. And with what a certainty in that moment did the Lord Jesus speak. And when he did institute that Holy Supper, to say as it were unto his church, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. This is my body, which is broken for you. Just as if it was already accomplished. Not this will be, but this is already. It is as if it is already done. This is my blood, which is broken for you. And so he assures his church of the complete fulfillment of his word, that they may rest in it, when that way that is before them is a very, very difficult way. O Christ, he is himself the fulfillment of all the promises of God for the redemption of his people. For all the promises, they are in him, yea, and in him, amen. And he reveals himself to his church as the Alpha and as the Omega, as the beginning, as the end, as the first and the last, as he who gave the promise and he who will fulfill that promise. He has done it in the days of old, spoken so to the fathers, and he has given it also in the last days, making even more glorious, we read the Apostle Paul says, the things which were of old when they are brought into the new. And what is the purpose? Same purposes then. Same purpose. That he may strengthen that church in the way, that he may assure them of his faithfulness, and therefore the tokens. Therefore the tokens set before the eyes of that blessed church of God, that they may have rest in it, as they are traveling closer and closer unto their deliverance, that he may say, fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's and your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May that also be the experience of his church in this day. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Holy Supper, which can be found on page 60 or 136. In the back of your psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ,
as they are delivered by the holy apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. And this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he proposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards,
thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remaineth against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, and that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, and where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, and that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me." In like manner also he, after supper, he took the cup, and gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and has certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we, by this same spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love. For Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily, more and more with true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, and that we may take up our cross cheerfully, and deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted hands expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls and through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is prepared, let us sing from Psalter 117 all stanzas as pants the heart for streams of living water. So longs my soul, O living God, for thee, and what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 117. Beloved congregation, we have come in these moments to that time once again. It is renewed as the Lord has commanded to His church of all ages. Do this in remembrance of me. And we may read now in His word, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And thus the invitation now goes out to you as a congregation, that we know a necessity to be an outward member, but then also it is necessary that we know what those marks are. And we may now ask you then in these moments, has the Lord heard your groaning too? I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. Thus, it is not this day in between you and your neighbor. It is this day in between God and your soul. And what has taken place and what does take place in your inner chamber, does God say also of you, and I have heard thy groanings? Oh, has he heard you when sin became a burden in your life? When you began to see the evil of sin, and when the Lord planted the love of God in your soul, oh, did the Lord hear you then? Did your cry ascend to him? Did the Lord hear when that burden increased? And when sin became sin so that everything seemed to be sin in your life? Oh, did the Lord hear when you cried to him? When you began to see that you were not able to cease from this, that sin became not only a burden to you, but oh, could you only rip it out of heart and soul, and that you felt the impossibility, and that you began to groan, so that the Lord has heard in heaven, that though your life testified against you that you could not deliver yourself from this burden, or has the Lord also given to you to see a little hope, a little expectation? Has the Lord shown to you something of that way to say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? As so that your heart did rejoice in that hope and expectation then. Then the Lord says, come. Then he says, do this in remembrance of me. Come therefore, for all things are now ready. Does it go, friends? Does it go for you in the wrong way? Does it go for you in the way that you never thought it would go after the Lord gave to you hope, after you received a little expectation? Does the way decrease so that you cannot understand it? Does the Lord remove your experiences as a foundation, so that you may have nothing left anymore, even of all your religion? Then what does the Lord say? Oh, do you remember
Do you remember that day that you may rejoice for a moment? Then I remember. I remember also, he says, my covenant, and I have something to say unto you. Are there then yet any more? And then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. The Egyptians keep them in bondage. Thus that church feels the power of the enemy, the power of sin, and how that they cannot deliver themselves from that power of sin. Wherefore say, unto the children of Israel. Speak unto them this supper that is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that is given by the means of outward tokens. And that it comes to us that the Lord may say, that the Lord may speak, that he may show his own will. And what will he now say? Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I am. Thus, he does not speak about them. No, but he speaks about himself. And he will take the thought of the children of Israel away from all their own impossibility to deliver themselves from that bondage wherein they feel themselves to be, and he will say to them, look upon me, who I am. I am the Lord. I am the covenant God. And when you have been shown by my Spirit just a little of who I am, and when that hope and that expectation has been placed in your heart by my Spirit, I am the Lord. I am the covenant God of my own children. You have seen a little of his power when you had no power. Therefore, your heart has begun to go out after that mediator when you saw that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And when you were given to see the strength that was in him over all your own weakness, then you began to hope that not in you, but in his power and in his all-sufficiency, then it was possible for you also. And so that hope was born. But he says, now I am the Lord. And not only do I declare to you, and have I declared to you my all-sufficiency and given you a little hope thereon, but I now declare unto you my faithfulness. And that what I have given you to hope, then I will certainly fulfill. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. How will I do it? These tokens of bread and wine, they are the tokens that show how that he will do it. He will do it by the suffering of his only begotten Son. And I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Will that not be a wonder? Will that not be a wonder? And when we may be delivered from the burden of sin, and when nevermore it is to be felt and experienced again, this is his declaration. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I will redeem. I will pay your price. You shall not have to pay it yourself, but my own blood will be shed in order that I may redeem you. And with my stretched out arm, the might and the power of that blood that is unfathomable, that is the stretched out arm of God to deliver a man from the iniquity and the sin and that horrible pit that he has brought himself into. And I will do it, he says, with great judgments. Judgment, I will do it through justice. I will satisfy the justice of the Father. I will care that the law itself shall never be transgressed in order to redeem you, and I will take you to me for a people. Is that now not what was planted in your heart in that day that the Lord became too strong for you? Oh, that you also may be one of that people, that desire began to burn thy people, my people. And now the Lord says, I will take you to me for a people. You shall be mine. Thus I will deliver you from the bondage wherein you are, and I will bring you into my own service. And you shall not serve sin, but you shall serve me. And the love of sin shall be no more, but the love of God that shall overcome. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Oh, is that not the desire of your heart? And that the king would not be the prince of this world, that the king would not be the vanity of this world, that the king would not be Satan and all that is evil within you, but that God may be your king, that he may rule, that he may care for you, that he may fight against every one of your enemies. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You shall know this. Therefore, I have to deal so with you. Therefore, it has to go not from step to step to get better and better in your life. Therefore, I have to leave temptations that you may learn what you are, that you may learn your weakness, that you may learn your evil, but you shall know that I bring you out from under the burdens when it becomes for you impossible, and when it becomes for you cut off, and then I am going to receive from you all the honor and all the glory. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear. Oh, that land which is a token of that eternal inheritance, I will give you that land concerning the which I did swear. I have lifted up my hand, and I have sworn by an oath, and therefore the assurance which I give to my children, and I will give it to you for an heritage, an inheritance that is undeserved, but an inheritance that has been bought, that has been kept, and that has been delivered and given, imputed unto his church. Where is now our part? Where is it? Read it again when you come home. I will. Am the Lord. Let us sing. 202. The first stanza. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. The first stanza of Psalter 202, and afterwards the communicants may return again to their seats. In doubt and temptation,
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks, and that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased, and that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 73, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.